We're looking forward to the words of encouragement by exhortation by our brother Mark Kerr. He's asked that for the topic that he's chosen, which is fueled by the fullness for God, we take a reading from the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, chapter 3, verses 14 through to 21. Look forward then to the exhortation for this morning from brother Mark Kerr, fueled by the fullness of God.
Thank you, brother Ralph. And good morning, my brothers, sisters, young people and friends. It was over 30 years ago I was driving back home from Rathmines Bible School. As some of you know, it's about a 16-hour drive from Adelaide, and having multiple drivers is essential. Anna, myself and our friend David Luke shared the driving on the way home. After one of my driving stints, Anna took over for the last stretch towards home, and as I was feeling weary and needed a sleep. There must have been about an hour left on the trip, and whilst Anna was overtaking another vehicle on the dual highway, my car lost power. I was quickly woken up to the issue, and Anna pulled the car over to the side of the road. We had run out of petrol. "It's all good," I said. "I'll get the jerry can out of the boot." I reached into the boot and grabbed the jerry can, which was empty. I had all the best intentions to fill the jerry can before leaving Rathmines, but failed to do so. Metaphorically speaking, a petrol tank in the Bible can be likened to our human spirit, which needs to be kept spiritually full and energised. Just as a car needs fuel to run, we need spiritual nourishment to stay connected with God. I know as well as anyone, our fuel tanks can be easily depleted and can lead to burnout, discouragement, and a feeling of being disconnected from God. But it can be easily filled up again by many physical and spiritual practices. This morning I'd like to touch on a few of these practices, some in which can act as spiritual fuel to prevent your tank from running empty. One practice I find helps me to refuel is fellowship. Just being around my Hyde Park family, whether it's a casual catch-up, Bible class or memorial meeting, helps me to maintain the fuel to keep motoring on, which has given me the encouragement on many levels ecclesially. Making the effort may be difficult at times. Just keep in mind that when you are around your fellow brothers and sisters and their families, being together enables us to talk, listen, support each other and encourage each other around the one true hope. Come with me to Hebrews chapter 10, verses 23. Verse 23, "Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works." In verse 25, "not neglecting to meet together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near." Encouraging one another to make it to Bible classes, memorial meetings, or even saying yes to being a host at a youth group night can help. And whilst being together, we know the Lord is with us. Matthew 18, verse 20 states, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I among them." Another important practice is doing the daily readings and Bible study. Spending a few moments of our day reading the Word of God stimulates our senses and tops up our fuel tank daily. And devoting extra time to Bible study not only boosts your fuel level, it helps with us handling the Word of truth with care and accuracy. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And James speaks to us in chapter 1, verse 22, "Be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." He reminds us not to only read the word, but be doers of the word. It's a two-part process. If we read it, it can be easily forgotten. But undertaking the message in doing these things, it speaks of of us will surely help with replenishing our tank. Additionally, having access to online content like Good Christadelphian Talks and a plethora of YouTube talks not only gives us so many options, it allows us to listen while driving to work or taking a long trip somewhere, preferably with a fuel tank full of fuel. Come with me to James chapter 1, verse 27. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Here James touches on a simple duty to visit the fatherless and the widows, which we can all be involved with. Have you done this recently? Or even done it at all? I know I'm terrible at it, and it's really not a hard thing to do. There are so many degrees of ecclesial duties that we can all take part in, such as offering to pick up a brother or sister who needs a lift to Bible class, the memorial meeting, or any of our community events. Investing our time with others who are lonely or doing it tough will not only boost their tanks, but help to replenish yours. Some other ways to help replenish our tanks and things like hall cleaning or working bees. Some of you might say this is more like a chore than a way to increase our fuel supply. I would tend to agree with that, but arriving at the hall and seeing the weeds that have been pulled out of the car park, door locks repaired, or just noticing the carpet has been vacuumed helps to top up our tank. When we work as a team, such as being on hall maintenance committee or the ecclesial lunch roster, enables us to interact with each other. It might be as simple as helping in the kitchen or washing the dishes afterwards. In doing this, you might spend quality time getting to know someone you rarely speak with or interact with, and it might just give that person a little boost of fuel unbeknown to you. Spending time involved on teams and committees give you a feeling of self-worth, and as a direct result of this, enhances positivity inwardly and outwardly. Now, one group I do admire here at Hyde Park is our choral group, many of which are very talented at singing, playing an instrument, or even both. Sadly, I don't have the talent in which they possess, but it's something I greatly enjoy when watching and listening them perform. Chapter 98 of the Psalms, the psalmist writes, "O sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvellous things. His right hand and his holy arm have worked salvation for him. The Lord has made known his salvation. He has revealed his righteousness in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his steadfast love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the ends of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Break forth into joyous song and sing praises. Sing praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of melody. With trumpets and the sound of the horn, make a joyful noise before the King, the Lord. Let the sea roar and all that fills it, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the rivers clap their hands, let the hills sing for joy together before the Lord, for he comes to judge the earth. He will judge the world with righteousness and the peoples with equity." Now, one would have to agree the song and praise nights generated by the gospel committee and the choral group are an amazing event each year. Not just being on the stage, but that we all get to be involved singing praises to our Heavenly Father on these nights. I'm personally grateful to the Bible class committee for including many nights each year in the program to expand our worship song list. Paul's epistle to the Colossians in chapter 3 writes, verse 16, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God." Being engaged in song and praise can generate thankfulness in our hearts and remind us of God's presence, and in turn most definitely enable our spiritual fuel tank to be filled or even overflowed. Now, it would be amiss for me not to mention Bible schools, study weekends, ecclesial camps as a multifaceted event to attend and refuel with. Our community is spoilt for choice when it comes to these events. Our young people have a huge selection to choose from year to year, and collectively we have Rathmine Bible Schools, conferences, family weeks, ecclesial study weekends and family camps. These gatherings give us so much more opportunity to meet around the Word of God. You get to meet new people with the same hope, attend talks, lead discussion groups, mingle with others at mealtimes, enjoy day trips to see God's creation, and even dress up for epic family nights. Proverbs 27 verse 17 writes, "Iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend." Verse 17 emphasises we benefit from interaction with each other. As individuals, we help each other to grow and improve. Just like when a knife is sharpened with a steel or a sharpening implement, we are honed or sharpened by each other's contact and interaction. Come with me to Matthew 25, verse 1. Our Lord speaks the parable of the 10 virgins. "Then the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were foolish and 5 were wise. For when the foolish took their lamps, they took no oil with them, but the wise took flasks of oil with their lamps. As the bridegroom was delayed, they all became drowsy and slept. But at midnight there was a cry, 'Here is the bridegroom, come out to meet him.' Then all those virgins rose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the wise, 'Give us some of your oil, for our lamps are going out.' But the wise answered, saying, 'Since there will not be enough for us and for you, go rather to the dealers and buy for yourselves.' And while they were going to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went in with him to the marriage feast, and the door was shut. Afterward, the other virgins came also, saying, 'Lord, Lord, open to us.' But he answered, 'Truly I say to you, I do not know you. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour.'" I think this parable puts it pretty plain and simply for us. Our flasks need to be continually filled in readiness for our Master's return, not sitting in the boot of our car empty. In conclusion, from our reading this morning in verse 19, this encapsulates my thoughts today. Verse 19. "And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that he might be filled with all the fullness of God." The word love here is in this verse is translated from the Greek word agape, meaning brotherly love, affection, goodwill, love, benevolence. Our Lord has shown us love through his sacrifice, and by showing our love to our God for his Son's sacrifice and everything he has done for us, we can be filled with the fullness of God. The word filled here in the Greek is pleroo or pleroo. I'm not sure if that's the best way to pronounce it. It means to make full, fill up, fill to the full, and to fill to the top so that nothing shall be wanting, to full measure, fill to the brim. So that nothing shall be wanting. If we keep our tanks filled to the brim with spiritual things, we won't need or want of anything. Where we can, we must endeavour to fill our lives with spiritual things of God, which defends us from the world around us and enables not just ourselves, but those we spend time with on our walk to the kingdom, so we can all be ready together when our Master returns. So next time you're filling your car with petrol or charging its battery, try to remember that an empty jerry can in the boot is useless unless it's full of fuel to get you to where you ultimately want to be. Even so, come Lord Jesus.